turn to the book of St. Luke's, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. And we may go into chapter 19. Don't know right now, but I just want to thank the Lord for being in His house tonight. If it was up to the Lord, I'd probably be in prison or laying up somewhere, not knowing who I am, not even knowing who my family is or anything. But I'm so thankful that He had enough grace to shed for me. He had enough grace that He was willing to die for me. The word grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. God's redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ, that was God's redemption. He was the one going to be redeemed. And you know, this week I've thought about the word redeemed a whole lot. And I thought about this, thought about that. But you know, when we get to heaven, you know what the new song is going to be? I know some people say it's going to be this. Some people say it's going to be that and everything. But this is me now, and I could probably be totally wrong, and I probably am totally wrong. But I believe it could be redeemed. The song that we're going to sing there in glory. We're going to all gather there, I believe, that we're going to be singing about our Redeemer. And we're going to be singing about that we've been redeemed. Because you know, the angels there in heaven, they don't know anything at all about being redeemed. They've never had the experience of ever being redeemed because they've always been there with God. So that's my view on that, but I could be totally wrong. But here in Luke chapter 18, and let's start up here with verse 34. It says, "And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitudes pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, and he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 4, it says, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for the reading of thy word. And Father, we thank you for that our ears have heard the word of God. And Father, we just ask, Lord, now that you may take me. And Father, you may hide me behind the cross. The Father, that the people, the only ones that they can see, and he's not on the cross. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And Father, we just want to thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. We see here right here where, speaking of a blind man, this blind man, he was on the where he was with the crowd. The crowd of people was following the Lord Jesus Christ because he was passing through Jericho. And he wanted to go to the city there. He wanted to go and tell the people some good news, some good words, some hope that they can look onto and they could take and they could grasp a hold to. But it says right here, it says, and it came to pass that as he that as he was come nigh to Jericho. Sorry that Satan, you don't get it. But as the multitudes was coming by, in verse 36, and hearing the multitudes pass by, he asked what it meant. This blind beggar right here, this blind man right here, evidently he went out every day, every morning, and he sat right beside the gate, and he had his little basket or what he had, and he was gathering anything he could gather up, bread or whatever, a little meal, a piece of money, something like that, where he could go and he could provide for his family. Today, we don't even have people that we won't even provide for the family. They looking unto the government to provide for their family. They're not willing to go out here and even try to do anything. But as this blind man, as he sat outside, this particular day, he was sitting outside and he'd heard off in a distance where it was a mob. Excuse me. A crowd of people. They was there going through and they was probably murmuring, there's talking and everything, and talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus. And they just wanted Jesus just to stop. They wanted him to stop where they could just kind of gather around him and and flocked to him where they could touch him. But here this beggar was. This beggar, he didn't say anything about wanting to meet Jesus at first. He was asking a multitude of the people that was coming by, and he'd met some of them, and he says, "What's going on? What's all the commotion about?" And they told him. Verse 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. A blind man right here that probably it doesn't say anything much about him before this. But evidently this blind man is probably has never seen and never could had his eyes to look upon the face of his family, his wife and his children. Didn't even know what they looked like. But here he was outside trying to provide something for his family. And this beggar, he wanted to, now he wanted to see the man that they said Jesus of Nazareth passes by. They wanted to see him. He wanted to see him. He wanted to go where he was at because he says all the commotion about him says it must be something special about him. Because he had heard something about Jesus. He had heard something about the Messiah. You can go out here in the highway. We can go into any part of the Pennsylvania County and see that Danville, and you can talk to people and you can ask people, "Have you ever heard of the name Jesus? Have you?" A whole lot of people say, "Yeah." And they can probably give you little bits and pieces about it. They can tell you where he went to the cross. But as far as what he has done for them, they can't tell you. But this beggar right here, he wanted to know. He wanted to know more about this man called Jesus. So he got in the same mob where they was trying their very best to get to Jesus. And he was a blind man. He was trying his very best to get to him. And he said that, "I believe if I could just get to him, if I could just speak to him, maybe he could speak back to me. And he may encourage me." I ain't so sure the beggar even went there to where Jesus was at, expecting Jesus to give him his eyesight back. He just wanted to go and meet him because everybody else was talking about him. Have you been in the same position, or when somebody would come to town and you've always heard about them and you wanted to meet them and you wanted to hear what they had to say? That's just like this past week. For the last 3 or 4 days is all we've heard about the Pope Francis. It's all we've heard about. But see, people was flocking to him. How many thousands of people flocked to him in one of the events? I don't know which one it was. It might have been Friday nights or Saturday nights or whenever. But it was something like about over 50,000, 60,000 people had gathered there in a stadium there or whatever. To be able to just to hear from the Pope
thinking the Pope is going to help them. The Pope can't help them. But what amazed me about the whole thing, even when he come up, the last thing that he said was his, what he calls his prayer and everything, but I look at it this way. Any individual, don't make no difference if it's a pope, it don't make no difference if he's an evangelist, pastor, preacher, whatever, if he's going to pray and he's got to read his prayer off, I don't want to hear from him. But they do that today, and here he was, reading what he was saying, reading his what he called his prayer and everything. And then when it got to the end, then he done this. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Mary. Left the main one out. The main one out, the Holy Spirit. If you don't have your Holy Spirit, you ain't got Jesus. And if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got the Father. You've got to have all three. They don't understand it. People don't understand it. They got into all this new modernized stuff today. And hey, I love to get back into the book. I love to get back to what? Into the Bible. This book right here, still the same today as it was the day that I got saved. It's not going to get me to heaven no quicker, no faster. Doing other books is not going to give me a place to where I'm going to be right at the center of the supper table there. Doing other Bible is not going to get me to the place that where I'm going to be more special to God and to the Lord Jesus than this book right here is. And I always say this, I always come back to this. And I reckon I come back to it because I worked in the automotive type business and I sold parts and everything for years. I says, if it ain't broke, you cannot fix it. This book right here has never been broke. Amen. Never been broke. Oh yes, we may wear them out. I just tell my wife, come in. I says, I'm going to have to kind of put this to the side, just kind of maybe look over some of the notes that I got in here. Because it's a little ripped and torn and everything. I mean, hey, I've taken it with me. I'd be going to the car and I'd get ready to get in the car. Somebody like that and somebody say, hey, preacher, I want to talk to you. Right after church or something like that. And I'll take and I'll lay my Bible right there on top of the hood. I mean, on the top, not the hood, but on the top of the car. It was right at the driver's door. Many a times I left that. And then time I was about a half a mile or maybe a mile or two down the road, I'll turn over the shelf and I've asked, I said, you got my Bible? I'd turn around, I'd go back. Sometimes we would be laying like that and be all sprawled out and everything. I got it. I still pick it up. I still bring it back and I use it. She says that twice. I don't know how many times, but I'll tell you what.
If it ain't broken, you cannot fix it. But see, this beggar right here, he was broke. He was broke. It was something in his body that was not right. And it was his eyesight. His eyesight. But you know, when he got close to Jesus, and the closer he got to him, the more the multitude of people, the more that they just kind of flocked toward him, the more they just gathered around because they didn't want to leave a little opening where somebody else could get in front of them. But what did he do? He didn't say, he just said, I got to get to him. I got to get to him. And he'd heard something about him because he'd called him Lord. So he knew something about him. Evidently, he must have been taught. But it says right here in verse 39, and they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. That was the individuals, the multitude, speaking to the blind beggar right here, saying, just kind of calm down. Just calm down. You can, we know you can't see, but we'll get you to him. I think he knew that right there was foolish. He knew they weren't going to take him to Jesus because they were just all over Jesus. They just wanted him. They didn't want nobody else to get to him. But it says there that he should hold his peace. But he, the blind beggar, he cried out the more, so much more. He cried out so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know, that wasn't the first time that he said that. It wasn't the last time he'd said either. But he said the first time, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He just wanted Jesus to recognize that somebody was calling out his name. Because he was calling out his name, the son of David. Thou son of David, he cried out. Then a second time when he did, he cried out so much the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He wanted Jesus to hear him. And sometimes we as individuals, we don't speak up loud enough the way he can hear us. Oh, in the book of Hebrews, what did he say? Boldness. We must speak with boldness. We must pray for boldness. We must lift up the name of Jesus. We must do it with boldness. What does boldness mean? Boldness means that we don't just go over here and sit.
That's the way a whole lot of us are. That's the way I've been in the past. No.
I must go to Him in boldness. I must say, hey, Jesus, here I am. You know where I'm at. You know what I've done. You know what my life is right now. What kind of turmoil I'm going up against. You know what I want. You know what I want to do. Lord, I'm asking you to do that. You know the reason He wants us to come to Him with boldness? So other people around us can hear us speak about Him in boldness. Because there's so many people today, so many Christians today, they won't even speak out anymore. Hey, I'm not ashamed of my Lord. I'm not ashamed of the salvation that He has given me. And it was one scripture in the Bible. It's in the New Testament, but I can't go to it right now because I forgot about where it's at. But it says in that, it says, work out your own salvation. That right there stumped me there for years. Because I knew that I had to go to Him through faith. I had to go to Him by what faith I had. And He would save me. Because it won't no way in the world I could work for it. It won't no way in the world I could go out here and do enough for Him. But work out your own salvation. You know what I think it is? We need to work out our conviction that the Lord wants me to have. Not the conviction that you may have. But the conviction that He wants me to have. We must ask Him to give us the conviction that He wants us to have. Because, see, we can't have all the same convictions. You say, preacher, why not? We just can't. That's the way you're going to take it up with God. But we can't. See, personally myself, you can't either. But it's some places in town, I cannot go in and I can't eat in a place. And I've never eaten in them. I've never darkened the doors. And it's because of the alcohol that they sell, the alcoholic beverages that they sell. But I've had also the people come back and say, well, don't you go in the grocery store? Don't you even go into these convenient markets and everything and buy a little something in there? Yeah. Yeah. I said, but they're not drinking in them places. Yes, they may sell it. But see, I ain't got an answer for them. I got an answer for myself. And I said, if I go to Applebee's or somewhere like that, it sells the mixed drinks and everything. It's got a bar up there and everything. If I go in there and if I are there, I may hear some words that's not appropriate. I'm not supposed to do that. And I know that that's what the Lord Jesus, that's where He would go. He would go into them places like that. Why? Because the lost would be in it, yes.
But see, Jesus, He was perfect. He didn't have to worry about Satan, because He cast Satan. And He'd tell him, He said, "You just get behind me, Satan, because you ain't gonna devour me." He tried so many times before when Satan took him up on the mountaintop. What did he do? What did he promise Jesus? He promised Jesus. He said, "Jesus, look all around you. Look all around you now." I believe Satan said, "Well, now just don't look at what's in front of you on the side of you. But you look in the back of your tail. All around you. You can see everything." If you just bow down, you can have all of this. See, he was trying to seize the Lord Jesus there. But see, the Lord Jesus knew something that Satan didn't know. That it was already the Lord's. It was already His. That's right. Satan couldn't get a hold to it. He warned it. He couldn't get heaven. So now he wanted to put God had created in him. No, he won't get it.
But this blind beggar, saying in verse 41, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." The Lord Jesus asked this beggar right here, says, "What do you want me to do? I heard you call out my name. I heard you cry it out loud enough to where I could hear it among the other crowd. What do you want me to do? What do you need?" And the only thing he asked him was this. And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." That I may receive my sight. He didn't say, "Well, Lord, I want my sight back. Lord, I want you to just touch him to where I can see once again. I can see my family." No, "I may see." And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." He's asking the Lord, said, "Lord, if you're willing to give me my sight back, I'm willing to witness for you. But if not, I'm still willing to witness for you." That right there reminds me of Brother Stamps. You can tell that he loves the Lord. You can tell that. I mean, Brother James has told me, he says, when he comes and when Brother Stamps here, and when his spirit moves, and it moves upon Brother Stamps, he says, "It's cold chills that goes up my spine. And I says, the reason for that is, and James says, I know it. I know what you're going to say. And he said, the reason them chills runs up my spine is because I know that the Holy Spirit is here. It's real. But in verse 42, it said, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Right here, we've just read where a miracle had took place, but there was not just only one miracle. There was two miracles that had been performed right here. And the first miracle was that the Lord Jesus had touched this blind man and gave his sight back. The second miracle is that this man, this beggar, had the faith of God that God would do it. It didn't say that God could do it, that God would do it. But he had that much faith. Had the faith to heal the blind man. And had the faith in the one that could do it. And that was Jesus. And he didn't stop there. It did not stop there. I would have loved to have been there. And I'd have loved to have been right behind the blind beggar. It used to be the blind beggar. Because I just don't think that he just stood there. And he says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I can see again. No. I believe that this blind man, it's blind. It used to be a blind beggar going all the way into Jericho. He was running all the way to Jericho. But as he was running all the way to Jericho, I believe he was out praising the Lord, thanking Jesus for what he had done. And when he got to Jericho, I believe that's when Zacchaeus had thought about the Lord Jesus. Because we see when the blind man got there, or used to be the blind man, I keep calling him blind man, but he's not blind. But when the blind beggar used to be the blind beggar, when he got to Jericho, he wasn't blind anymore. But he got there before Jesus. Why did he get there before Jesus? You know why? Think about it. So the beggar could be a witness for Jesus. So he could be a witness for Jesus. What it does, with this all, everything I've said tonight, and what this story, it's not a story, it's the truth. What it reads, and behind of what it reads there, it's not one thing that we should get out of it. And that's the main point, I believe, that we need to be a witness
for the Lord Jesus. We need to do what we can to be a witness to Him. You never know. The next individual that you meet, and the next individual that you speak to and just invite them to church, and you ask before you leave where they're at, can you pray for them? And you pray for them. And you'll never know if they happen to get saved. That could be the one that could complete the bride. Yes. That would be the one that where the angel would blow the trumpet. And we'd all, I'd love to be there. I'd love to be in the presence of anybody taking and leading somebody to the Lord. And then we'd go home. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, He did not know the time. He did not know the hour. He does not know the day. He does not know anything, any point of time about it. That's the only thing that the Father had left to Himself. He did not even reveal that to His Son when He was coming back. Why? Because He wanted every individual the opportunity to get saved. He didn't put no timetable on it. He wanted as many people that would get saved. And a whole lot of times we just sit back. We'll sit at home or whatever. I'm just as guilty as anybody. Don't go out. Don't call nobody. Like it's not a care in the world. There's other people I get that's hurting. They're hurting financially, they're hurting physically, but most of all, they're hurting spiritually. That's where we come in at. Because if we can introduce them to Jesus, if he ever gets saved, then you got somebody that they can go to and help them to carry the load. Because what they don't realize, they're carrying that load all by themselves. And it's awful heavy. And we can help by just giving the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Does everyone stand, head bowed, and eyes closed? Brother Bill Fung will sing one stanza, whatever. But you come. The Lord spoke into your heart any way at all. You come. Whatever He has spoken to your heart about, you come and you give it to the Lord and allow Him to help you carry the burden. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you for this afternoon. And thank you for the word tonight. Thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit showed up, Father, because that's the only reason I could even stand here tonight, Father. And I know He showed up. I felt Him. I felt His presence. And Lord, I just pray for Faith Baptist Church. I lift Faith Baptist Church up. I lift up each and every member
each and every one that's here tonight. Father, we just want to thank you, want to love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.